One last meditation, and it comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 this morning. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Beloved, death could not hold Jesus. On the third day, just as He said, just as had been said about Him, He burst from the grave. There was too much life and energy in Him for death to ever hope to be able to hold Him once He was ready to be free of it. And that's the story. Once He was ready to be free of death, there was nothing in the power of death that could hold Him because of the power of life that was in Him as the giver of life itself. He left His incarnate flesh in the grave, but when He was ready, He took it back and it sprang to life. A life more animating, a life more glorious, more magnificent than ever. Now, this is a great and a glorious mystery when we think on it. It goes beyond our experience and our understanding. We can't grasp this. Some have stared death in the face. There's nothing there. When you come to that point and you look into the face of death, you see there's nothing there. There's not even a glimmer of life. Everything that's familiar is gone. And even the dead body, once life leaves it, starts very quickly to become foreign and to take on the appearance of a stranger. After a little while, you look at that person you've known so well, and you stop recognizing who they are because their body begins to decay. To witness the dramatic change that took place in Jesus must have been remarkable. That dead, abused, broken, lifeless body, now healthy, animated, and bristling with life. It's a wonder, isn't it, to think about that, to go from that to this? But, beloved, read again what's said here in Romans by the Apostle Paul. If that Spirit of Christ who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if He occupies you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. No man can breathe into another's nostrils the breath of life, says McLaren. But Christ can and does breathe life into us. And this true miracle of a communication of spiritual life takes place in every man or woman who humbly trusts himself to Him. But focus here for just a moment on the word quicken. It's a term used only of believers in the Bible. That term is only used in reference to believers. It doesn't refer to simply being alive, as it were. It refers, as Charles Hodge says, to that particular newness of life of which Christ Jesus is both the author and source. The life that is coming to your mortal body as a believer is not merely life as you know it now, but life as Christ manifested it when He rose from the dead, immortal and glorious. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes there in verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Speaking of the end of the age and of judgment, Jesus says this in Matthew 13:43. Then the righteous. And who are the righteous? those who are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there's nobody here this morning, or I hope there's nobody here this morning, who believes that you're righteous in himself or herself. But how many believe that you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ? Go ahead, raise your hand if you believe that. You're righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I know it's hard to do it, isn't it? Because we know what we are, but this is what we are in Christ, not what we are in ourselves, but what Christ has done for us. Now listen to what Jesus says. Then the righteous, those of you who just raised your hands, those of you who just raised your hand a moment ago, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Think about that. You're going to shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. When all is said and done, when the judgment's over, when your mortal body is raised immortal, and you come into possession of that glorious promise of Christ to body and soul, you're going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. And then Jesus says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. This is for those who have ears to hear. This is the promise that you have in Christ. This is the promise and expectation that is yours today if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And why is that? Because just as it was with him, once the time had come, death couldn't hold him. It can't hold you. Life bristles in you by that Spirit. And death is far too weak to hold on to that in which such life belongs. If that life is in you, if that Spirit is in you, even now. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is, as McLaren says, at once the ground of salvation, the pattern of life, and the prophecy of glory for the believer. I love the way he summarized that. Let me repeat it again. The death and resurrection of Christ is at the same time the ground of your salvation, the pattern as to how you want to live, and the prophecy of your glory forever. It's the ground of your salvation, that resurrection, that death and resurrection. It's the pattern of how you should live. You should die to this world and live to Christ. And it is the prophecy of your glory. What is to come? So I would close this morning's meditation with three questions and reflections. The first one is the most important. It's Jesus himself who asked this. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? All those words are the words of Christ, including that last question. Do you believe this? If you do, then the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that powerful Spirit is in you, and it will raise you too. But it requires that faith, that confidence in Christ as the resurrection and the life. And it would be terrible this morning to sit here and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to have no part in it. And I would speak to those who are in that situation. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of redemption. We've set forth, as we've looked at these things, that we're not embracing a philosophy here. We're demonstrating that our faith is in the testimony of God's word concerning these events. Jesus did come. He was the Son of God. He did suffer and die on the cross for our sins. He did rise again. And our hope is in his work on the cross of Calvary for the covering of our sins and the hope of life. And that's what we call you to. That's what the gospel calls you to. You remember how Paul described it there in that very first meditation that we looked at. This is the message of salvation sent to you. Sent to you by God. This is his testimony to you about how to be saved and how to find peace for your life and hope for eternity. So we call on you to put your faith, to call on God to give you the faith to believe. The second thing I would put, and this is to those who are risen with Christ, do you seek the things that are above? And where in the category of intensity of things that you seek out does that stand? You have the capacity given to you by the grace of God to understand great and blessed things. I don't know how it's been for you, but there have been times when my heart and my spirit were close to the Lord, and I felt like I was on the brink of things I could hardly grasp. And I just wish I could always stay there. But it doesn't happen that way. You get to that point, you're there, and the wonder and the beauty of who Christ is, and it's overwhelming, and it gets hold of you, and you feel like you're going to become undone, and then the phone rings, or the doorbell rings, or your stomach growls, or something happens, and you come crashing down again. But we can still go there. We have the capacity to go there by the grace of God. And Paul's saying, seek those things. Someday we'll have the liberty and freedom to seek them without those interruptions. But until then, we're called to do so. And then lastly, what a wonderful day this is to contemplate not what we are now, but what we shall be when body and soul are reunited and the glorious liberty of those who are in Christ is fully yours. What a great day to think on those things. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul says, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. On the resurrection day, is that what he's saying? Now, I want to know now the power of his resurrection. I want to know that in my life and in my heart. I want it to be a part of who I am as a believer.